Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Parkmanship Podcast. I am Ryan, and with me today is Andrew. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Good. I had to think about it. I just got home from work, so.
Yeah, same. Very tiring.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do much today, so I can't really say it was tiring. I ate some chips, and yeah, pretty much.
The American or English kind?
Yes.
So chips and fries, got it.
Yeah, that's what I did today. Anyway, let's hop into it. So we got some good news stories this week. I don't know if you want to go first, Ryan.
Yeah, I can go first. Mine's not really a news story. It's just a recap of a recent trip I did. This past week, I explored some of our national park sites in North Carolina, Virginia, not so much Virginia, but Maryland and Pennsylvania. And I really wanted to go to Guilford Courthouse National Military Park in North Carolina, just because that's one of the few parks that are kind of in driving distance that I haven't been to. And this site commemorates a battle in the American Revolution that was a prelude to the definitive siege of Yorktown that ended up in a major American and French victory. The battle itself ended in a British victory, so kind of at first glance a weird park to preserve, but I found that the visitor center had a lot of artifacts. This was definitely one of the best preserved battlefields that I've seen from the American Revolution, so that's probably why this park is a national park site to begin with. But yeah, the visitor center was really awesome. It had like all-time music playing throughout it, so the visitor center was top-notch. The park itself was smaller than I thought it would be, and it was very crowded for a weekday. It's definitely a favorite walking spot for locals. But yeah, I would say check it out just for the visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
The next one I went to is the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal National Historical Park in Maryland. I've talked about this park on the podcast before. This is my fourth time going to it. It's a rather large park, so I've been to four different districts of it. This time I went to Williamsport, which is the southernmost district in Maryland. It's literally right on the border with Virginia. Like, you just walk like almost on top of the Potomac, and on the other side of the Potomac is Virginia. But yeah, this is such an expansive park. It's such an underrated park. It just gets better every time I visit it. Andrew, we have to get you there one time. It's an awesome time there. Saw okay. A great sunrise there.
All right.
And then one more to go. Final park I visited was Hopewell Furnace National Historic Site, which is in Pennsylvania. Did a little bit of hiking there, which I was unable to do the first time I visited. This was the second time I visited. And the real reason I want to go here is I didn't get the Unigrid the first time I went. So I kind of just went here to get the Unigrid, do some hiking. But yeah, it's a fun little site. And they really allow you to explore the old village there, you know, get up and close and personal with the building. So that's really cool. They have like a, what's the water wheel called? What's that thing called?
A water mill?
Yes, they had a water mill. You can hang out in there, get really close to the spinning wheel. But yeah, fun time. You should definitely check those parks out if you have a chance, especially the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal National Historical Park.
I don't know if I could go to Ohio.
That's so random.
I know. You said Ohio.
When?
Just now. Anyway.
Oh, the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal. It's not in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Call it Chesapeake and Ohio Canal. Oh. I did say Ohio, but I didn't mean it as in Ohio, the state.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's. My news story is kind of less cool. Earlier this week, it was all over social media and the news, but a TikTok influencer faces criminal charges after hitting a golf ball into the Grand Canyon. I don't know her name.
Probably best not to give her any exposure.
Yeah, I don't really care because kind of TikTok's a terrible platform. I really don't like the format of Reels. That's a personal thing, but
I don't like it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Leave TikTok to TikTok.
Yeah, basically, she essentially littered, right? So she threw her golf club by accident, whatever you want to call it, and hit a golf ball into the Grand Canyon, which is dangerous on many levels. It could endanger wildlife. It could she hit a loose rock, it could have caused the rock fall, like could have hit a person that was hiking in the rim below. But she now faces criminal charges. Don't do dumb trends on the internet is, I think, the moral of this story.
Yeah, it's probably good that the National Park Service is kind of getting serious on prosecuting some of these things. Like they had the person who was caught on video approaching the grizzly bear got thrown in jail for, I think, a month or something like that last year.
Yeah, and there was the lady who went to touch the buffalo and faced criminal charges. I think it was a hefty fine, too.
Yeah.
Leave nature where it is. Don't disrupt it, I guess, is the best way to kind of go about that. You are there for the sights, not to do something dumb. Do something dumb with your friends in your own house, not in a place of natural beauty. Anyway, let's get into our main topic of the week.
Yes. Washington, D.C.
Well, we got to be clear on this. What year, Ryan?
So, yeah, we've done multiple trips over the years to Washington, D.C., but I think our biggest one we've ever done was when we went in 2016, which was our first time together that we went. And we also went in 2021, last year. And we actually spoke about that on our premiere podcast episode. So if you want to listen to more of us talking about Washington, D.C., check out our first episode ever.
Yep.
Catch that on Spotify or whatever platform you're listening to this on right now. And then we also went in 2019 for a few days. We'll talk about that more on our next episode.
And we're going next year.
And we're going next year with one of our friends.
Yep. Let's kind of explain what Washington, D.C. is and like the national parks that kind of inhabit there. Because D.C. is not a state. It's a district, right? I guess
it's the capital.
Yeah, I know, but what do you? It's the capital, but what would you call it? It does. It's
I
not
get the district.
Yeah, because
it's not a territory.
It's not a territory. It is.
It's not a state.
It's not a. It should be a state, but that's besides the point. But I get it. Basically, DC's where all the federal can't say it.
Federal buildings.
Yeah, I was gonna say like the starts with an M. Some old
municipal.
There we go. That word, buildings are for federal government. But it's also inhabited with a lot of American history. The National Mall, the museums from the Smithsonian. There's a lot there. The list can go on and on.
Yeah, there's a lot of national park sites in Washington, D.C., to the point that they had to separate the parks into two distinct districts, the National Mall Memorial Parks and the National Capital Parks East. But the weird thing is the National Mall Memorial Parks and National Capital Parks East both count as their own park units.
Yeah.
It's a really weird organization of how they do it.
It's confusing. I don't remember the reasoning behind our trip. I think we just wanted to get away for a week.
Yeah, I wanted to go with you. But the reason I wanted to go was I wanted to do something big, but that was something somewhat also easy because it's you know, like a 5.5-6 hour drive to D.C. So somewhat easy.
Looking back at it, it's not that long of a drive based on some of the drives we've done now.
Yeah, just this past week alone.
Yeah.
For me. And, 2016 was the National Park Service Centennial, which is really why I wanted to do something big. So that is the reason why we went to Washington, D.C. in 2016.
I don't remember anything about.
I remember. We left in perfect timing because I remember my mom complaining about how they got snow later that day.
Oh, that's right.
But I don't remember us hitting any snow on the way down. Like, we must have, like, really lucked out.
Yeah. I remember we didn't hit traffic. I don't remember much from the drive. That drive, I feel like, was probably one of the easier drives you can take from where we live.
Yeah. I mean, you still have to go over the George Washington Bridge, which is never fun.
Yeah, and the Tappan Zee is the best bridge. And this came up in dinner last night, but Tappan Zee is the best. Yeah, the best bridge. So, we'll not call it by whatever other name it's being called by now. It is the
Mario
Tappan Zee.
Cuomo.
Nope, it's Tappan Zee.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I will forever know what you're talking about when you say that.
Yeah. But we had one base of operations while we were there, the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in downtown DC, which was fantastic. I remember we getting weird looks because I showed up in basketball shorts and a t-shirt, and I think you were also in shorts and a t-shirt. And it was.
I don't know if I was in shorts, but I was definitely in, you know, I definitely had like a Mets shirt on or something like that.
Yeah. And it was definitely a place where foreign dignitaries and ambassadors stay.
Yeah, this was the fanciest hotel we've ever been to. The classiest, fanciest, whatever you want to call it.
In Truth style, we showed up underdressed.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We have a history of doing that in D.C.
Yeah. Most notably was that one restaurant. I think we talked about the first time.
Yeah, we talked about this on the first episode ever. So if you have not listened to our first episode, go back and listen to that now.
Yeah. First sights we hit while we were there.
I just want to talk a little bit more about the Mandarin Oriental. My favorite thing about that hotel was they just gave you robes.
Oh, that's right.
When you walked into your room.
Yeah, they're for to keep.
Yeah, we use those quite frequently.
It was great. I did forget about that.
And our room had a view of the Washington Monument right outside.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yep. It was in walking distance from the National Mall.
Oh, yeah. It was just a couple blocks down.
Yeah.
It was right next to, like, right across the street was, I think it was, like, the Department of Agriculture, maybe. It was one of the federal departments was right across the street.
It was the agricultural building.
Yeah.
I remember that. First thing we went to was the World War II Memorial. Classic memorial down there to go visit.
Yeah, it seems to be in the middle of it all. I mean, it's right between, you know, the Lincoln and the Washington. And I kind of just love the pillar structure of the monument. There's so many intricate details, such as, you know, the order of battles that occurred there and the eagle design on the top of the two, like, largest, the Atlantic and the Pacific pillars. I just love the design of that monument.
Yeah, it never changes. It's great.
It's actually one of the newer ones. I think it was like 2004.
Yeah, but it never gets old. It never changes, right? Like, it's a good thing to start the trip off with.
Yeah.
Because it's right. You look right away. I look. Words. Look right across the way, and it's the Lincoln Memorial.
Yep.
Which is great. Would you call that a reflecting pool between there and the.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah. That night, that walk's really nice. I really like, you can either walk next to the water or there's like side paths.
Through the woods.
Yeah.
Not really woods, but through the
tree line, which is nice. Excellent, excellent view of the World War II Memorial from the steps to the Lincoln. Because through that you can see the other monuments in downtown DC, which is really cool. Lincoln Memorial, another classic on the tour down there. You know, you walk in, it's this imposing statue of Lincoln on his chair. Gift shops over to the right, very small, tucked into the wall.
I love that, it's so hidden,
yeah. It's crowded. It's always crowded. Doesn't matter what time of
super crowded.
What time of year? Anything. It's crowded. Doesn't matter.
I went one time in the middle of COVID, and I was shocked when it was actually like there's only like two other people there with me.
That's because it was the whole world was shut down, Ryan.
Not DC that day. I wouldn't say it's in the middle, but it was like right when the vaccine started to go out is when I went.
Oh, okay. And is it off to the right once you're coming down the Lincoln Memorial? Is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, or is that
It's to the if you're walking from the Lincoln Memorial, it's to
it's
the
on
left.
The left, right? Yeah. And it's a very simple design for that one.
Yeah, let me just go back to the Lincoln. Would you say that's the most iconic monument in DC?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Next, it's that or the Washington, the obelisk, the Washington Memorial.
Monument.
Washington Monument. That's a what?
I think it's the Lincoln. It's the most iconic.
It's on the back of the penny?
I think it is.
Yeah. I feel
it's
like
also in Planet of the Apes.
True.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That's the crappy new one. The Statue of Liberty is in Planet of the Apes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, I think it's classic. Yeah, going forward towards on the left is the Vietnam's Veteran Memorial, though, which I find really moving because it's got all the names on it.
I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of the Vietnam Veterans Memorials. I, when it comes to the monuments memorials, I like the more intricately designed ones. And this one is, you know, just the wall with the names. And then they have like the one statue of the three soldiers.
There's a very good episode of Drunk History on how the, I believe it's the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, who got to choose it. And it's a girl from Yale, if memory serves correct.
That is correct.
And she designs a lot of the monuments now, or she did do a couple.
Probably. I would not be surprised.
Yeah. So a little cool piece of history. I think that was, did we do that all on the first day? Cause it's just the walk, right?
Yeah. It's all like bunched in together. So you can do these monuments. You can bang them off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quickly.
Yeah.
You could do the National Mall monuments and the Tidal Basin monuments in one day. Easy.
Oh yeah. 100%. It's a great walk.
Yeah. Which we did not do the Tidal Basin that first day.
No. Cause we wanted to save it for the nighttime.
No, I mean, we got in during, like, the late afternoon, and it was also raining.
Oh, that's bit, right. Yeah.
When we got there. The evening, it stopped raining.
Yeah. We did go out to dinner that night.
Yeah.
Ryan, where'd we go?
Old Ebbitt Grill, which is, I guess, one of the more famous restaurants in D.C. But, yeah, I remember getting fish and chips, because that's what I usually get. I'm sure I had some sort of beer, but I don't remember what I had.
Was this the one that was in the office building?
Kind of. It's like you go into the restaurant and they have like the typical like lounge and bar area. And then I guess it was so busy that they had to sit us in like additional seating, and the additional seating was in like this mall like structure.
Yeah, it was weird. I think that was all wrapped up in day one. We just ended back up at the Mandarin Oriental. The next day we did the tour of the National Mall. I think it was under construction while we were there in 2016.
The National Mall?
Yeah.
Probably was. That sounds right. Yeah, it was.
Because all the water was drained, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I have to say, the memorials and monuments work much better when the water isn't drained. When it's running fully, they look so much better.
Yeah, and the I think 2016 and 2019, they were both under construction.
That's plausible.
That's always under construction over there.
I feel like half the time I go, the water isn't running.
Yeah.
But yeah, so throughout that week, we did a bunch of Smithsonian museums. We didn't do them all on this second day, but we did start. We did the Visitor Center Castle. We did the Museum of Natural History. We did the Air and Space Museum. We did the Museum of American History. And then we kind of did a brief sprint through the American Art Museum. And that's not even listing all of them. There's like five others like right there that we still haven't done.
While we were down there, they were opening up a new museum for, it's the
African American
History Cultural Museum?
Yeah. And that's one of the more popular ones now.
Yeah, which I want to go to next year when we go. But I think my favorite of that one was the Air and Space Museum.
I knew you were going to say that. That seems to be everyone's favorite one. But mine was the Museum of Natural History. I kind of just love that main rotunda there with the big elephant statue. I love like the walk into it where they have like the gardens and the petrified wood and fossil exhibits. And I'm just a sucker for natural history. So that was up my alley more than the Air and Space Museum.
So fun fact, my grandfather has made a piece for the Smithsonian. It is on display in the Natural History Museum. It's in the mineral section. It's the largest ruby ring.
Nice.
Yeah. If you're ever there, you can go see. It's the Carmen Lucille ruby. Really cool. Anyway. Yeah, the Air and Space Museum, we did that Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think it was him doing that space.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, you sat in a seat and it was like Neil deGrasse Tyson speaking space stuff to you while you looked at the universe. It was great. I met him in Old Salem, New York. Me and my friend Brian Fisher went to see him talk. It was like a local charity. They posted it at Westcon. We're like, it's $20. Let's go. We got there early, like an hour early by accident because we didn't read the thing. And Neil deGrasse Tyson just shows up and we got to speak with him for an hour. It was really cool.
Do you remember? We also did the like that IMAX movie of the national parks. Do you remember which museum that was?
Aaron's. Space, because they're the only ones with the IMAX.
I know there was another one that had the IMAX and then got rid of it like a few years later. I think it was that one.
No, I'm pretty sure it was just the Air and Space Museum, because we also got popcorn there and I spilt it everywhere.
I got beer. I was like very excited.
Yeah,
because this is before we ever went to an Alamo Draft House. I got really excited that they had beer there.
Yeah, speaking of which, we have to do that again soon. Love me some Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, it's a good chain.
And then we went to the Constitution Gardens, if I'm not mistaken, that on day two.
Yeah. This is kind of towards the evening. I guess we must have eaten. This must have been the day we ate at the Italian restaurant that you can't remember.
Yeah, all I remember is it was off like a road off of Pennsylvania Avenue. We discovered it by accident, and it was like they like made the ceilings to look like wine cellars, like vaulted wine cellar ceilings, and it was okay at best.
We gotta stop going to your random Italian restaurant finds because they're pretty bad most of the time.
Yeah, I just kind of Google it.
Yeah, yeah, you have to find a better method.
We're going to Sizzler.
All right. We should have gone to Sizzler that one time in was it Joshua Tree? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Another terrible story in another episode of the podcast. Anyway, the Constitution Gardens were pretty cool.
I think they're really underrated. I mean, yeah. it's like a nice pond. You can do a little bird watching. It's much quieter than everything else around it. And it has great views of the Washington Monument. Unfortunately, that time in 2016, the water was drained. So it was kind of a little dicey how it looked. It was kind of off-putting because, you know, it's just a puddle.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was kind of a gross puddle.
But in recent times, filled up. You got a bunch of birds there. You got the nice, statue for all the signees of the Declaration of Independence. So, yeah, good park. It's right next to the Lincoln Memorial and all the other monuments. So if you have the time, do check it out because I think it's kind of underrated.
Yep. That was end of day two.
Yeah.
Day three. Still
day two.
That's right. Day two, we did the Korean War Veterans Memorial.
Yes.
Yeah. I do remember that. That was pretty cool. That was not new, but it was good.
Well, I think the reason was we hit it at the perfect time. Like the evening golden hour just started to hit once we went there. And that really made all the sculptures like pop against the backdrop. We got some good photos there.
Yep. Yep. And was MLK that same night, or was that the next day?
No, this is the same day. This is day two, evening of day two. We did the entire tidal basin.
That's right. My
we had a busy day on day two.
Yeah, because my brain's kind of melting two different trips into one. So I'm like trying to separate it.
We've been there so many times, it's tough to remember it all.
Yeah, because we went from MLK, which recently opened.
Yes.
That
was the newest one at the time.
Yeah. Well, then next, well, in the 29th.
Any thoughts on the MLK Memorial?
I really like it. Okay. The visitor center's kind of lackluster for what it is.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's a very tiny building, in my opinion.
Wait, really? I thought I'm the complete opposite of you. Like, I thought the memorial itself was kind of bland because, once again, I prefer the intricate designs, and this one is kind of a basic design. But the gift shop is across the street, and I thought, a rather large size building.
I don't think it was.
And it looked, I remember it's definitely bigger than the Eisenhower visitor center / gift shop.
Yeah. I think this was
talking about new gift shop / visitor centers.
I think this was the trip I started to collect pins on.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I have a bunch of them still. Hold please.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just like going through. But yeah. No, I thought it was fine. I was looking it up, but no, you're right. It's bigger than it I remember. And then we walked to the FDR Memorial.
I just love the FDR Memorial.
That's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the little waterfall in it?
Yep. The multiple waterfalls.
Is that the one with the statue of the dog?
Yep.
Yeah, that one's pretty great. It's got a statue of a dog.
Yeah. It has that like waterfall or like on boulders motif throughout the entire monument. It's really big too, because it's four, you know, outdoor structures. So yeah, you could spend a good half an hour there. Whereas with most of these, you're only like, you're going in and you're going out.
Yeah. This one, you walk towards the Jefferson. It's nice. Cause the pathway, you can either, you know, stay on the tidal basin or take a little side detour through it, which is nice.
Yep.
Which we ended at the Jefferson.
Yep.
Which was always a classic. I think it was under construction.
No.
That was the most recent one, wasn't it?
It's been under construction, yeah, like the past 2 years. Like, I always try to go now. It's always under construction. I think in 2019, the bottom level, like the main structure itself was, you can go in and it was fine. But the interior basement where they have the museum and visitor center, a hidden visitor center and museum, which is really cool. That was under construction. So I think this is the one time where we've been able to enjoy it fully.
Yeah. Hopefully next year too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it's cool. And it at sunset, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was prime golden hour when we got there.
Yep. It was great. Favorite sunset in DC, Ryan?
The last year's trip.
Yeah, with the Lincoln Memorial.
With Lincoln Memorial, yeah, you got the red clouds in there. The sun just really popped.
Yep. Now this leads us to day three.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
My brain's melting. We had breakfast at the Mandarin Oriental, which was good but expensive. Yeah. I do remember that, and you reminded me of that.
Yeah, I got I must have gotten some like combo meal, because I got like egg and bacon and. I think I got like fruit and toast and something else.
I got pancakes and toast. And I know it was like, I was like, damn, it was $17 for pancakes or something. I was so mad. But it was good, because we decided to, did we take a taxi to?
You don't remember this, Andrew?
No, I remember taking a taxi back.
Remember where the guy was like, oh yeah, I know everywhere in DC.
Oh yeah, he got lost. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he dropped us off at like the horse stables where it says you cannot drive this way. And like everybody was looking at us weirdly, and we're just walking down away from the road.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pain in the ass. I remember that. That hike was nice.
Yeah, so the hike was Western Ridge Trail, which I think is like the most famous trail there. We also did the visitor center, which apparently has a planetarium, but it wasn't running while we were there. But I thought it was a rather old looking visitor center.
Yeah, definitely it's in an update. I do remember that. It was like the oldest one we went to in a while. We hiked from there too.
We took the Western Ridge Trail from the visitor center all the way to the Smithsonian National Zoo. But before we get into the zoo, I just want to say Rock Creek Park, I thought was, you know, kind of a basic park, but I think we just hit it like just right. We were there on a really good spring day.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the perfect time of year to go for this. And then I've done Rock Creek Park one time since, and I did the Soapstone Valley District, which is actually not that far from the Western Ridge Trail. And yeah, once again, I hit it on a spring day. So if you're going, definitely go on a spring day. And then one more thing about Rock Creek Park. So, Andrew, did you know that there has been previous attempts in Congress to turn Rock Creek Park into a national park? Would you support that?
Not particularly. I don't know. I really haven't explored it enough, but it was kind of not majestic enough to be a national park.
I think I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just not worth the title change.
They have to change it to like Rock Creek National Recreation Area. I think would be a more fitting title.
Yeah. Yeah. We did end up after our hike at
the Smithsonian Zoo, National Zoo.
It was great.
I actually don't remember much about the zoo other than, like, I got that great pic with my head in the Triceratops skull.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got you the picture in the meerkat thing, didn't I?
Maybe. I don't remember much else.
I remember that whole zoo experience was overshadowed us trying to get a taxi to pick us up.
I remember it more as, like, oh, let's like go back into Rock Creek Park and walk our way back all the way back to the hotel. And you're like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Cause it was like a ton of miles.
Yeah, it was.
It was more than 10 miles, Ryan.
I think it was around 10.
No. All right. And where did we end up for lunch that day, Ryan, or dinner?
It was dinner. I honestly don't know what we did I don't remember what we did for most of our meals there, but this was dinner. We had our first visit to a Parkmanship podcast classic, Elephant and Castle.
Yep. I remember sitting by the bookcase area on the upper level. It was great.
I remember I had a Boilermaker, was very happy about that. And it's a big sad now that they don't have a specific menu for Boilermakers anymore. You can still get Boilermakers at Elephant and Castle, but back then they used to have a specific menu for all their different Boilermakers.
I do remember that. You were very excited.
Oh, yeah. I actually remember, like, that night at work, they were having, like, a get-together outing for eating. And yeah. I was in a text chain. I think I was going to, like, text one of my friends. And I accidentally texted a video of me drinking that Boilermaker to that group chat. Oops.
Oopsies. Well, now you can unsend text with iOS 16, but that was not then. Yeah. Anyway, Ryan, what time is it?
Is it the Fry Review of the Week?
Yeah. Elephant Castle, a classic. I think it's a 4 out of 5. It's just a reoccurring good spot for fries, I think, in the area.
Yeah, it's a Parkmanship podcast classic.
Did we eat there? Was it? No, that was the next trip with the world.
That's next week's episode.
Oh my God, there's so many.
Or not next week's, but the next episode.
Yeah. Anyway, we also did Ford's Theater while we were down there.
Yeah, so now this is our last day.
Yeah. We only spent a half day in D.C., I think.
Yeah, we spent... Yeah, we were there until like 1...
Yeah. Ford's Theater is a famous theater in DC. most associated with the assassination of Lincoln. But it's been there forever, it feels like.
It definitely has been. So Fort Cedar National Historic Site also includes the Peterson House, which is right across the street. That's the house where Lincoln actually died. And I don't know, I kind of found the Peterson House more interesting than Ford's Theater.
Well, we didn't really see the theater. We saw that weird stack of books.
That was cool. They had a, I forget how we got there. But anyways, the Ford Theater itself now is like a multi-story building. And if you go to the top level, they have, a 2 or 3 story stack of books that are all about Lincoln, stacked together to make this gigantic statue.
Yeah, it's cool. One of my favorites, statues, like kind of arts we've seen, because there's a lot of books on Lincoln and you don't realize it till you see that pillar. And then we also, after that, ended up at.
I just wanted to say that Ford Theater I thought was a nice final stop for our trip. Ended on a high. Although at the time I was kind of disappointed because I didn't get my stamp for the park there because they didn't have the stamp for Ford Theater at Ford Theater. You had to go to like the Washington Monument and I didn't know.
Oh, I do remember
At the time I
that.
was like really disappointed. But looking back now, I thought that was a great final stop.
Yeah, it was good. And our final food stop there was downtown DC. We ate at a Shake Shack.
Which I did not know they had in DC. I thought that was like a New York City institution.
Honestly, I just associate with the Mets games. Even though that we have one in Danbury now, but it kind of sucks.
Never been to the one in Danbury.
Yeah, I'd rather just leave it as a Mets institution.
Okay.
Favorite park site, Ryan, we discussed.
Mine's definitely the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial. I just think it has the most original design. We went during golden hour on this trip, and that really makes you pr the part the memorial really makes you appreciate FDR as a person and president.
Would you say he's your favorite president?
No, I think I'm going with Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, me too. I wanted to make sure he chose the good Roosevelt.
Well, they're both good. I just think the other one's
Yeah,
better.
he's definitely better. I will have to say I really like the Lincoln Memorial. It's just an imposing statue, and you look when you're walking out, you just see all the way down. It's just a great view.
Okay. That's the I think the iconic one.
And coming up in our next future episode is the preview of our 2019 trip.
Yeah,
Same
so
material, same places, just different experiences.
yeah, it's probably going to be a shorter episode because we only spent 2 days there instead of 4 this time around. But we're going to be talking about our experiences at the Washington Monument, the American Art Museum, the Belmont Paul Women's Equality National Monument, brief trips to Carter G. Woodson Home and Mary McLeod Bethune Council House, more of our Elephant and Castle shenanigans, and a review of Capital City Brewing.
I forgot we went there.
We watched a Liverpool Champions League match there.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Let's not get into it too much.
Well, Ryan, let's hop into our favorite part of the episode, our top three of the week.
Yes.
All right, this you wrote down for our three favorite getaway cities in town or towns.
Three gateway towns and cities.
Oh, what did I say? Gateway?
Getaway.
Oh, damn it. Well, you know what? That's a future one then.
Okay,
Well,
what's a getaway town?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. All
Okay.
right, Ryan, what is your three favorite gateway cities or towns?
All right, so before I even say it, I think I'm gonna go ahead and guess your list. I think my number three is gonna be your number one, and then my number one's gonna be somewhere on your list. So here it goes. Number three is Key West in Florida.
Damn
It's such
it.
a picturesque location. There's a lot of good alcohol. A lot of good alcohol. They have the rum. They have the open carry rules. So yeah, definitely a place to experience. You'll have fun there. Number two is Bar Harbor in Maine. Oh, I should say Key West is the gateway town to Dry Tortugas National Park.
Yep.
Bar Harbor in Maine is the gateway town to Acadia. Both Acadia and Bar Harbor are on Mount Desert Island. Yeah, Bar Harbor is small, but there's a lot packed into it, a lot of great restaurants. And once again, very scenic, right on the water, and just feels like really a part of the park, even though it's not. And then number one, and the reason behind this list, is Washington, D.C., another place right on the water. But you just got so much history there. You know, you still got Rock Creek Park where you can get away into nature, or even better, Theodore Roosevelt Island. That's an even more picturesque bit of nature in Washington, D.C. You got the Potomac River. You can do a lot of recreation there. And then tons and tons of great restaurants. You know, we've had great seafood. We've had Italian food there. we've had a really great pub food. So yeah, Washington, D.C. is my favorite gateway town, and that's the gateway to the National Mall Memorial Parks, as well as the Eastern D.C. parks.
Okay. Okay. Number three, I will have to say, gateway towns. I think the town of Joshua Tree, right outside Joshua Tree National Park, is a pretty good one.
Okay.
I don't know why I had to specify that, but you know what? We'll go with it. I think it's one of those, like,
be clear, there's a town called Joshua Tree.
Outside Joshua
Tree. Yeah, outside Joshua Tree, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like this picturesque, like, gateway town of, like, I guess it's desert. It's just kind of cool. Kind of like a very laid back feel to it, which is really cool. Number two, definitely DC. Lots of history, as you said. You know, lots to do. And it's kind of close. It's only, what, how far away is Shenandoah to it?
It was under an hour, I think.
Yeah.
It's
so
it's over now. It was under 90 minutes.
Yeah. It's still, I would consider that close enough. Like, if you really want to go far out to nature, you can even escape to Shenandoah. And number one is, yes, it is Key West. I enjoy the sun from Key West. I enjoy the atmosphere from Key West. I like walking around the town. It's kind of a kooky town. A lot of different characters, different vibes from street to street, the alcohol. It's just a fun town.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And this was Parkmanship.